ओम यज्ञानातिमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः. हरे कृष्ण. सो आई बीन आस्क्ड टु कवर वर्सेस फ्रॉम वर्सेस 6 एंड 7 फ्रॉम द 6th चैप्टर ऑफ द Bhagavad Gita, and discuss them, and also point out what are some of the instructions Srila Prabhupada is giving in the context of these verses of how to control one's mind. So what I'd like to do is first go over these verses, the translations and the purports, and then I'll discuss them with respect to the message that they are imparting. So text 6.6 is on page 278 of your Bhagavad Gita. Bandur atma atmanastasya yena atma eva atmana jita anatmanastu satruve Varteta atma eva shatruvat. Bandhu, friend. Atma, the mind. Atmana, of the living entity. Tasya, of him. Yena, by whom. Atma, the mind. Eva, certainly. Atmana, by the living entity. Jita, conquered. Anatmana, of one who has failed to control the mind. Two, but satrudve, because of enmity. Varteta, remains. Atma eva, the very mind. Shatruvat, as an enemy. Translation. For him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. Please repeat after me. For him who has conquered the mind, the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The purpose of practicing eightfold yoga is to control the mind in order to make it a friend in discharging the human mission. Unless the mind is controlled, the practice of yoga for show is simply a waste of time. One who cannot control his mind lives always with the greatest enemy, and thus his life and its mission are spoiled. The constitutional position of the living entity is to carry out the order of the superior, the supreme. As long as one's mind remains an unconquered enemy, one has to serve the dictations of lust, anger, avarice, illusion, etc. But when the mind is conquered, one voluntarily agrees to abide by the dictation of the personality of Godhead, who is situated within the heart of everyone as Paramatma. Real yoga practice entails meeting the Paramatma within the heart and then following his dictation. For one who takes to Krishna consciousness directly, perfect surrender to the dictation of the Lord follows automatically. We'll also look at the following text 7, which is related to text 6. Jitatmana prasantasya paramatma samahita sitoshna sukha dukeshu tatha mana apamanayo. Jita atmana, of one who has conquered his mind. Prasantasya, who has attained tranquility by such control over the mind. Paramatma, the super soul. Samahita, approached completely. Sita, in cold. Asna, heat. Sukha, happiness. Dukeshu, and distress. Tatha, also. Mana, in honor. Apa manayo, and disorder. Translation. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. To such a man, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. Please repeat after me. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. To such a man, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Actually, every living entity is intended to abide by the dictation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated in everyone's heart as Paramatma. When the mind is misled by the external illusory energy, one becomes entangled in material activities. Therefore, as soon as one's mind is controlled through one of the yoga systems, one should be considered to have already reached the destination. One has to abide by superior dictation. When one's mind is fixed on the superior nature, he has no alternative but to follow the dictation of the Supreme. The mind must admit some superior dictation and follow it. The effect of controlling the mind is that one automatically follows the dictation of the Paramatma or Super Soul, because this transcendental position is at once achieved by one who is in Krishna consciousness. The devotee of the Lord is unaffected by the dualities of material existence, namely distress and happiness, cold and heat, etc. This state is practical samadhi, or absorption in the Supreme. So these two verses form part of the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that is focused on Dhyana Yoga, a form of yoga practice involving meditation on the Supreme. It's about Krishna's instructions to Arjuna on yoga that he defines as the process of linking oneself with the Supreme. Krishna says very early on in this chapter, chapter 6, that the process of renunciation, there is another parallel process of renunciation, which is to renounce desire for sense gratification. He says it is the same. It is analogous to yoga, or linking oneself with the Supreme. Because one can never become a yogi unless one renounces such desires, that is, desires for sense gratification in the material world. So Krishna places importance on this process of yoga as one that will lead to this successful renunciation, the ability to be able to give up this attachment to sense gratification. In last Sunday's class here at the Sunday feast, His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu discussed the previous text to the two that we read. He discussed text 6 from this chapter on Dhyana Yoga, which says that the mind is the center of yoga practice. And in order to deliver oneself from this material entanglement or material engagement in sense gratification, one has to train the mind. One has to control the mind. That is the central focus of this chapter. In the material world, if you look at the condition of the living entity, who is actually a soul that is conditioned because he has taken the body, the pure soul has become thereby entangled because the mind is involved with the false ego which desires to lord it over material nature. In fact, Srila Prabhupada points out in the Bhagavad Gita, this is one of the weaknesses of heart. Is this living entity wanting to lord it over material nature, and then after he engages in sense gratification, in trying to lord over material nature and acquires a few things, he becomes more entangled. That's the second weakness of the heart. And all of this is happening through the engagement of mind with sense objects. Therefore, the mind should be trained so that it will not be attracted by the glitter of material nature. And in this way, the conditioned soul can be saved. One should not degrade oneself by attraction to the sense objects, because that can also occur through the mind. The mind, in fact, can play both roles. In fact, the sixth verse points out, we read, that the mind can be one's best friend. At the same time, it can be one's enemy. This has also been echoed by the English poet Milton, who has said that the mind is in its own place. It can make a heaven of hell or hell of heaven. Same concept. It depends on what you make of it. In fact, both verses point this out, how you are going to use the mind. So for whom is the mind the best of friends? This verse 6 that we went into, the purport, it says, it is for one who has conquered the mind by yoga practice that this mind is the best of friends. One who has conquered it, the mind will be a friend. One will make the mind a friend. But for one who has failed to do so, the mind is going to stand out as an enemy. Both purports of verses 6 and 7 that we discuss then talk about these consequences of conquering the mind or not conquering it. For example, in text 6 we read, it says that a person who has conquered the mind has made it his best friend in discharging the human mission. So you've conquered the mind, it's become your best friend. You can now use it to discharge the human mission. And what is the human mission? According to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is to serve God, it is to serve Krishna. When Sanatan Goswami approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and asked him this question, who am I? What is my identity? What is my mission? Where am I heading? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are the servitor to the Lord. As part and parcel of the Lord, being a fragmental part of the Lord, your constitutional position is to serve the Lord. In this constitutional position, this is where you will really find happiness, because Krishna, the Supreme, is Satchitananda Vigraha. He is all knowledge, he is all bliss, he is all eternity. So by being in contact with him, one is going to derive all of that. This is like someone living in a palace with a king, maybe a servant, has all the benefits that the king has. It automatically transfers to one. So, by carrying on this mission, one can, by controlling the mind and making the mind a friend, one can attain this human mission, which is to serve God. And text 7 then goes further into this. In fact, it points out that by controlling the mind and making it a friend, one can, in fact, make contact with Paramatma, the Lord who is sitting in everyone's heart. And from Paramatma, one can receive dictation. Text 7 says that every living entity is intended to abide by this dictation, which is coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's like a secretary walks in and the boss is ready to give some instruction. She takes down the dictation. Krishna is the supreme. He's sitting in our heart. If we listen to him, he is giving us the dictation. He's our best friend, so they won't mislead us. They will guide us to the proper path. But on the contrary, the person who doesn't control the mind, the consequences that that individual is going to encounter and suffer is that by not controlling it, one is then going to be caught up in the dictates of lust, anger, avarice, illusion. One will miss out on this ability to realize the human mission, which is going to be spoiled. So these are the consequences of controlling the mind and not controlling it. So then we can ask, how can one control the mind? In fact, this chapter on Dana Yoga is about using the yoga process really to control the mind. It describes various forms of yoga. It talks about this eightfold yoga system, which is Ashtanga yoga, using meditation in the beginning and then some sitting postures, essentially with the goal of controlling the mind. It will achieve that. But Srila Prabhupada, in his purports to Chapter 6, Dana Yoga, points out that there is a better way. And that better way is to focus one's mind on Krishna consciousness. One can think about Krishna. Even while you're working, you can think about Krishna. As Krishna says in the eighth chapter to Arjun, while he's fighting, he says, he who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. So one is to think about Krishna. And you can do that even while you engage in your everyday activities. The other is to serve Krishna, to take up devotional service, to engage in the process of devotional service. And later on in the ninth chapter, it is pointed out what this devotional service is. Pure devotional service consists of nine different activities: hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping, praying, obeying, maintaining friendship, and surrendering everything. And Srila Prabhupada says, and by being constantly engaged in the service of Krishna, this living entity is considered to have ceased all material activities. It's like the two cannot coexist. Where there is devotional service, there is really no sense gratification. This is analogous. Psychologists know about this principle. They will tell you that where you have true observation, you don't have fear. Both are related to activities of the mind. Fear is like the thought process, and observation is also utilizing the mind. If you are completely absorbed in observing something, you have true observation. Fear doesn't exist. It automatically replaces it. Similarly, when one is engaged in devotional service, this material entanglement or sense gratification automatically goes away. The two don't coexist. So it is pointed out by Srila Prabhupada in this chapter that a superior activity to controlling the mind is to think of Krishna and to engage in his devotional service. And this way, the living entity will be able to realize the human mission and also in the process attain bliss, satisfaction, and knowledge, which automatically come from the process of devotional service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.